be with you. We're on record. I'm going to take off the mute on our online, and we are now live. I've noticed in the last few moments that we're getting kind of a low bandwidth on our video tonight. Occasionally, the internet is not very healthy, and I've got a warning playing. Ramona, would you go back to the server and make sure that everything looks okay back there? Because every once in a while it's bumping off of recording, and I'm clicking on the record button, and it's not letting me record, which means the bandwidth has just dropped back out of the recording. So bear with us. I apologize for this. I don't want to have anyone who's online miss this presentation. And occasionally that's just, it looks like our bandwidth is coming back up again. Okay, I'm going to log off of, bear with me on the phone if you would, I'll log off of the Ustream account and reopen it again and see if we can get it to work. We occasionally have these kinds of glitches with this system. We're dependent on the internet bandwidth to be able to carry a live stream. See if we can get this to work this time. Now, for some reason, we're having trouble with our bandwidth. I apologize. Just please bear with me who are on the telephone on the recording. There we go. And we see if we get it to record. Bandwidth is coming back up. It keeps dropping into a warning. It's all okay there. Okay, so we have our internet. We're just having a trouble getting it. So bear with us, those of you who are with us online. We apologize. We're not able to get it to start recording, but we are broadcasting, so that's good, with a warning that we may lose our bandwidth at any time. So let's proceed tonight so we don't have those who are on the phone waiting any longer for us. If anyone has a question tonight and would like to ask, you certainly are welcome to text a question to 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. We'd love to be able to address your questions as we go through this process. Our objective is to create a special experience for you this evening in terms of mental creation. Many of you have been through this discussion before, either as private coaching clients or in small groups. Some of you have been here on Tuesday nights when we've discussed this. I've been working on a document. I wanted to share a couple of lines from it as it relates to this topic of mental creation. One of the challenges that we have is that, as I wrote here, our minds are engaged incessantly in thinking. Now, if our mind is somewhere else than the present, right now here in the present, we call that vivid visualization. We are somewhere else. We're using our mind to think about something else. And we could perhaps see pictures or ideas. We're just somewhere else. Our mind is engaged incessantly in thinking. The vast majority of the time, we are not conscious of the thoughts we are entertaining. That's an important key for tonight. They occur. They impact our decisions and actions. It is only when undesirable results occur that we become conscious. By then, our circumstances are uncomfortable, if not painful. It looks like we've lost our connection again. Wow. Gotta try to get it back up again. Very strange. Sorry for this continual interruption for those of you who are on the telephone. How and what we think impacts our behavior. Our behavior determines our results. If we are not satisfied with our results, we'll want to become more aware of our thoughts. The intentional creation assessment opens the door to that awareness. Our mission, is to measure your thoughts and provide you with the tools needed to maximize natural strengths and to make any needed changes so that you can take action. with a heightened level of awareness and the application of the tools we have created, supported by self-determination, we can become intentional creators of our lives. Last paragraph. The more conscious we are of our thoughts, and the more balanced these thoughts are, the more likely we will make good and wise decisions that will support the actions needed to create success. The truth is, we all have these obsessive thought processes, and most of the time they cause us to be somewhere else other than present. Our greatest challenge is that most of the time they are undisciplined. They just wander. And it's been my experience, I don't need to be right about this, it's just been my experience that when someone finally hears where they've been going, more likely than not, it's not a positive place. It's a negative place. It's about worry or it's about fantasy. It's destructive ways of using our mind. The purpose for this quality is for not only for us to use our mind constructively to manifest inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. Our primary focus is to first become aware of what we're thinking. Because if we're not aware and it just continues to wander, we're going to continue to crash into challenges that we won't know what's creating it. We just know that we keep getting our forehead bloodied. So we're going to want to be able to hear these thought processes first. Now I had up on the screen, and I'll put it up for those of you who are on the video, the in the internal world, this bottom right hand side, this is called mental creation. For those of you on the telephone, just look at your assessment results, bottom right hand side, mental creation. What kind of thought processes are showing up? Because the thought processes that show up in this part of our thinking are going to impact our entire life. They'll create expectations, or they will support us in taking action. And if they're creating expectations, particularly unhealthy, unrealistic expectations, when we get to our life, we're going to really dislike what we're seeing. This is not what I planned. This is not what I want. And so if I can say this tonight in a way that it just registers like never before, we got things kind of backwards. Because our mind is so active all the time, or generally somewhere else, it becomes the place where we spend most of our time. It's the place where we live. This is our life. Then there's this tangible thing out here that we keep bumping into. Our house, our cars, our relationships, the money we have in our bank account, our credit cards. I don't want that. I want to kind of get back into my mind where things aren't like this. And the truth is that creation only occurs in this tangible place called reality. And we're going to want to spend more time here. And we will want to spend more time here if our thought processes are engaged in an activity that will ignite our passion that drives our focus and discipline and effort and action. So the very first thing we want to do tonight in terms of mental creation is just pause and step back and ask ourselves, how often am I really present in the now, here in this tangible world? And how much time do I spend somewhere else in my mind? My body's here. It's here if I'm in a coma. But where is my mind? Because I can walk through the destructive uses and the constructive uses, and they will be of no value until we start to become aware of where our mind is. Then we can start to say, wow, I'm finding myself spending a lot of time worrying. That would be over there in that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. I'm thinking about, it's the 4th of December. Christmas is coming up in 21 days. Do we have any anxiety about that financially? What about the bills that are coming up or already due this month? What are our thought processes around this topic? We go, wow, is that serving me? Because what we know is that when we're over in that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement, the sympathetic nervous system is releasing cortisol. Cortisol is being released to speed up metabolism, heal wounds, because it's like we're getting attacked by an enemy, like a bear. But there's no enemy. It's just depressive thoughts, negative thoughts, frustration, overwhelm, even anger. So we have this cortisol being released and creating these horrific challenges for us. And when the cortisol hits us, we feel emotionally paralyzed. And then to compound matters, at the top of our brainstem, the amygdala, that fight-or-flight center, starts getting activated, and it wants to shut down the brain so that it can centralize all of the computing power in the fight-or-flight center. And then our hippocampus, our short-term memory, gets shut down. We can't remember. So our memory's blunted, our practical judgment and empathy is blunted, our emotional capacity is blunted, our physical capacity is blunted. And what's the possibility that when we surrender ourselves to this unhealthy habit of thinking, that we might do something that will threaten to imprison our future? The truth is it's highly likely that we will. So when we're looking at mental creation, we're going to want to hear this thought process. Where's it going? I want you to put an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper together. Just put a landscape on your printer and print out the word interruption. And I want you to print out several copies of this. I'd like you to put one by your nightstand, one in your bathroom mirror, one on a refrigerator, one on a computer station, one in your car, office, home office, number of places. It's reminding yourself that when you're just kind of going through the motions in the day, you look up, see, interrupt, boom, you interrupt. Interrupt your thought and say, where am I? Where is my mind right now? And be courageous to hear it. Becoming aware does not create negativity, but it will reveal it. If our natural tendency is to be in discouragement and despair, we can discover that that's the case. Wow, I'm in discouragement and despair. As we go through the night, and maybe even into next week, we're going to talk about constructive things we can choose to do instead of, but we can't choose to do instead of if we're not aware of where we are. We stop it. So we first interrupt it, go, wow, that's not serving, and we start to discipline it by intentionally using it differently. So we want to interrupt. So that's catastrophe, a very negative way of thinking. And we find the vast majority of the population engaged in this kind of thinking. A lot of worrying right now about energy, about age, about finances, about relationships. A lot of people rethinking their lives. They're not happy about things. They maybe want to approach things differently. It's all understandable, considering where we've been. But we want to stay in creation, creating things that are positive. This negative catastrophizing just releases chemicals in our body that impairs us, and it robs us and everyone else around us of our greatest gifts and talents. We don't want to be in this space. Fantasy is not as popular as it used to be. Fantasy used to be the kind of the elixir, you know, it was the drug of choice. And I literally drug of choice, because we would go into the future to a time when we're rich and imagine what it's going to be like then. And the drug of choice was norepinephrine. Very powerful drugs like morphine. It's actually more powerful than morphine. It'd be a controlled substance if it were prescribed. It makes us feel wonderful and euphoric. It's great. It's called counterfeit pleasure. Counterfeit joy. That's what it is. Very deadly, because when reality shows up differently, the body just goes into this horrific autonomic response to try to protect us from the loss of this incredible fantasy, which has become our new reality in the mind. It's an expectation, a concrete condition for happiness. We don't see this as much anymore, because people are kind of getting the idea of they're losing hope. And hope and fantasy seem to be synonymous. If I had hope, I'd fantasize about what it's going to be like when I'm rich. I lost my hope, I stopped fantasizing. The tragedy is that hope and faith cannot be fantasy. Faith is a verb, requires action. So if we've been looking at fantasy as an illustration of hope, we lose our hope, we stop fantasizing, now we're catastrophizing, now we know, we see the sequence. We want to become aware of this, because it doesn't take any effort at all to fantasize. None. Our desire to have life easy and without pain and stress and frustration, make it more comfortable, that burning internal secret desire and real intention will, in fact, drive fantasy. It'll drive it. You'll just find, you can find yourself off on that for a half hour, an hour, 2 hours at a time, and it takes no energy. It just does it. Same with catastrophe. We can play out worst-case scenarios, our bodies being eaten alive by cortisol, the fear dendrites are shutting down our brain, our hippocampus is being shut off, and it's effortless. It's effortless. It's interesting to know. It doesn't take any discipline to do either one of those. And the tragedy is, the research shows, 98% of the 97% who have very vivid visualization, that's people who are somewhere else in their mind, the vast majority of the population, 98% of the 97 is about 95%. That's where we are. Now, I can tell you tonight, I have to be hyper-vigilant, hyper-vigilant, because my thought processes are like yours. They're just like red as can be in terms of vivid visualization. And we know that this enormous capacity to think can be our greatest gift, and it can also be one of our greatest challenges if we use it destructively. Because we'll use it to go to the heights of heaven or the depths of hell, fantasy catastrophe. 10 seconds, just boom, we're there. So one of the great challenges in mental creation, which is the first stage of creation, we mentally create, then we physically create. We see the vision, then we take the action. This mental creation, one of the great challenges, is consciously disciplining ourselves to use our mind constructively to receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges. At first, this may seem like work. The instant we get an inspired idea and our mind is ignited, and we get that idea and we act on it, we create something we've never had, now we get to experience real joy, not counterfeit joy from fantasy, but real joy. We do that again and again and again. And pretty soon we find out the very things we've always wanted are created while disciplining our mind constructively. It will become increasingly natural to do and more joyful to do. And that which is joyful we will do often, Og says. And we'll create new habits of thinking. With fantasy we go, we get a norepinephrine rush. It's a drug addiction. Go into discouragement, we get to feel sorry for ourselves. We got an excuse, a reason for our failure. This is rising above all of that. And using our mind constructively, the way it was designed to be used, it requires a fundamental shift. Fundamental shift is fairly simple. We shift from focusing on ourselves, our woe, or our secret desires for something magnificent, and then living beyond it. Magnificence, great. That's part of one of the constructive ways of using our mind is getting clear on what we want and coming back and actually creating that wonderful thing, that house, that car, whatever it might be. But the shift is, this is no longer about me. I'm choosing to engage. Now, if we're going to give up the desire for ease, I'm giving up the very thing that's driving the fantasy, the vivid visualization. I will want to replace it with a new desire. That new desire is to connect and serve and create value everywhere I go and with everyone I meet. contribute to the world. We start asking, what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? This is our new desire. Is this a natural desire? It can become a natural desire, but at first it's not. It's unselfish. We're selfish beings. It's very natural to go into fantasy catastrophe. It's not natural at first to be thinking about serving another person. But we soon discover this is where the joy is. So we start thinking about, what can I do to serve? And we engage in the first constructive way of thinking, mental rehearsal. We go to the next event in our life. We consciously apply vivid visualization to consider possibilities. We're seeking guidance. What can I create? How can I create that? How will I serve? Knowing that the ideas come, and it's an idea that we see or feel. It's an impression that we get. It's a solution to a challenge. It's rather rarely a voice from heaven saying, go do this. It's we see ourselves doing that, or we get the impression of doing something. That is an inspired idea. We're built to get these, by the way. Because when we do, if we had you wired to a functional MRI, what we know is that when that inspired idea enters your mind, it ignites part of your brain, which is often dormant. How exciting is this? Ignites our passion, our willingness to work, without counting the cost or tracking the time, doing whatever is required to create a tangible reality, that which we've seen so clearly in our mind. Absent this passion, we have some terrible challenges. We're seeing a measurement. I wrote about this in the new book. I'm just going to show you the cover for those of you who are on the air. The Observer's Chair. If you haven't got it yet, go to augmandino.com. Download a free chapter if you'd like to read that first before you buy it. I think for about three more days, Sunday, I think they take off the pre-release special because the book's here. We'll be here. We'll be shipping them. But you can save 15% between now and then. In the Observer's Chair, I talk about fatigue-driven pessimistic thinking. What that means is that we are sitting here in reality, and we once were up there. And our business has contracted, things have changed, and we want to get back up there. And last time we built from here to there, we built with passion. We weren't even thinking about what it was going to take. We just created. And this time, we're looking at where we are, up to where we'd like to be or used to be, and we're well aware of what it's going to take. We're older. We might have less energy. And we're faced with that workload? Oh, everything that needs to be done to finally get there? The measurement's pragmatic. You want to check in the bottom right-hand section of your assessment to see if it's orange. See if if this thought process is weighing heavily on you. This heaviness about creation. This is one of the risks with these very vivid thought processes. If we have create a fantasy of what it would be like, or we just want to be there. We just want it to be manifest. I don't know if I got the time or the energy. I want to just give me $1 million donation or whatever it might be so solve all my problems. That's not realistic. It's not the way it works. Not in the real world. Just in our mind. This can be a challenge. So we mentally rehearse possibilities. And part of the reason for mentally rehearsing is to get ideas about that. Oh, we can do this. And all of a sudden, it's not everything that needs to be done. It's not boring, mundane, repetition, burdensome. It's joyful. It's exciting. We can't wait to get up to do it. We're creating again. And we're back doing creating, because if we don't learn how to ignite passion, we probably won't recreate. It probably won't happen. So we want to know how to ignite this passion. And one of the ways of doing that is to mentally rehearse. Take the next big event, the next step on this ladder. What is it? Is it a meeting with someone? Is it a sales presentation? Is it a proposal that needs to be written? Is it a business plan? Whatever it might be. And start mentally rehearsing what should be in it. And when you start getting an idea of possibilities, It'll ignite your passion. We're playing with a new assessment. I'll put it back up on the screen for those of you on air. This is a fun assessment layout. But Saturday, I got a vision for each one of these sections as a circle, showing a pie shape with the axiological value for each one of these measurements, and being able to just click and have me ask you questions. You ever experienced this? You ever had this happen to you? A much more fun way to take the assessment. I'm so excited. I'm just looking for moments in the day that I can keep working on this to create an even more exciting assessment. Same mathematics, same measurements, same results, but making it more exciting for you to experience in the process. Are we overwhelmed by everything that needs to be done? I can't wait. The next piece. I can't do it fast enough because the fire is lit. Now, before that came, I knew a change needed to come, and it's overwhelming. I remember recording all the definitions for this assessment. Each one of these measurements has seven options. 36 times 7, you could do the math. I was exhausted. It was 5-minute sections. It took days. We did a test, and they were too long. They'd be cut in half, so I cut them in half. Did all of them all over again at 2.5 minutes. Test came back too long. Did them all over again at 20 seconds. Ugh. I never wanted to do this again. I never wanted to face this again. And it's going to be just this way. It's just this guy was, well, it's been a couple years. Just got a new idea to make it better for you. And now it's ignited passion. We'll go into another 6-month exercise, and by June of this year, we'll deliver a new way for you to see your assessment that'll light your fire. Be excited to tell all your friends to go check this out, because we finally figured out a piece that was missing. Well, that's mental rehearsal. I was mentally rehearsing Saturday morning. Ramona's sitting next to me. She knows what happened. We were going to sleep in a little bit because we had a breakfast at our church that morning. And what did I do? Jumped out of bed, came down here, and drew it out right now, sitting right here in a stack of papers. I could see it clearly now. I had not seen this ever before. What can I create? How can I create that? How can I serve? Focus on the people who are taking this assessment, the people who are working this program. What can we do to help them more clearly see each one of these pieces? And I saw something in my mind. What was that? It was so exciting, I jumped out of bed and came down and drew it. The more I drew it, the more I understood it. The more I understood it, the more excited I became. Oh, there's the answer. Oh my goodness, Ramona, come here, you got to see this. That's where we want to be. That's what mental rehearsal does for us. It's not about skipping to a time when we're rich and then living out this elaborate. It's getting ideas about what we can create and how we can create that and how that will serve. That's mental rehearsal. I want to encourage you to start thinking this way. And just know when you do, it's going to be normal to go, well, I can't think like that because I don't have money to do it if I thought of it, or this or that, or whatever the case may be. Just trust the process. Because if you're connecting with a power greater than yourself to get an idea of what's possible, who are you to say that's impossible? Or why would I do that? I would be really open to these ideas that come. I write about this in the book, in the new book. It said that we act on these whispers as if they're urgent assignments. And as the veracity of each is proven, we learn to trust and be trusted, to know and be known. And in doing so, we find the greatest source of healing, self-esteem. Seek for these inspired thoughts, these ideas, impressions. So that's mental rehearsal. There's more of it in the book today, Begin a New Life. There's the story of Peter Vidmar. There's the three tomatoes. There's the speech I gave at the Grand America to show you ways in which it can be used. But you can take the next event in your life, the next meeting, the next series of phone calls you're going to make, and just be with it. What does this person need? What's potentially happening in their life? What could I say to lift and build them? And how could I listen to them differently and step into their world and take down their walls of resistance? As a client shared recently in a coaching call, He said, I was getting ready to go into a call, and he said, I simply wrote on a 3x5 card, just listen. You know, he was going to talk to someone who was very highly successful. He was very uncomfortable doing it. He just listened. He let it unfold instead of trying to force it to work. Just having that vision opened up the possibility for him to have an incredible conversation with someone. So mentally rehearse. Enough on that one tonight. Number two, you're going to want to start using your mind to seek inspiration about how you can, who you can serve. And at the end of the day, it may be just you. But seek to know, is there anyone I can serve? Put them on my path and I'll serve them. If there's anyone I can serve, that means with my unique experiences, the challenges that I've had. We try to not let a day go by here at the Og Mandino Group that we don't reach out to someone that just has a need. 11 o'clock today, hour and a half with someone who desperately had a need and had the answer. It's important that we seek to know who that person is, and when we get that impression, that we act on it. It's so important that we do this. Start playing your mind. Now imagine the difference between playing worst-case scenarios out, releasing cortisol, fear dendrites, shutting down my hippocampus, being emotionally impaired, versus being in constant thought about who I could serve today, being in that space. And all of a sudden you bump into something else, and you're alert and awake, and you're ready for it. You don't miss opportunities. It helps you stay present in the now, focused on people. So at the end of the day, if nobody's mind name has come to your mind, or you haven't, you still have served you by staying present. So inspiration. Number three, exploration. Now, we've all done this one. We've decorated rooms in our mind before we actually bought a stick of furniture. Some of us have remodeled like a bathroom, and we decided where the door should be in the shower and the toilet and sink before we ever raised a hammer. This is exploration. It's like an etch-a-sketch of the mind. We kind of play with it and go, ooh, that doesn't work. You know, erase, and play with it again, erase. This is a beautiful gift the mind gives us, is the ability to explore possibilities before taking action. It helps us mitigate risk and removes challenges, problems, keeps us from making bad decisions. That doesn't mean we won't ever make a bad decision. It doesn't mean it'll be perfect. It'll just be better than it would have been if we just jumped in. We thought through the risks. We thought through the challenges and said, you know, I don't know if that's really worth my time to invest in that. I'm not sure that's something I really want to do. And so we save ourselves the anguish of going later on, ugh, I wish I would have listened. Listened to my intuition. So let us explore. Problem solve. This is happening all the time. This part of our mind, this bottom right-hand quadrant, and the bottom quadrant section and bottom left-hand section, are all about systemic thought. That's right, wrong, win, lose, life, death. It's like someone wants to put the jam on before the peanut butter. The earth just went on tilt. It's peanut butter first, jam second. And some people can have their whole world go on tilt over peanut butter and jam. Or pepperoni or sausage on a pizza, which is the correct topping. Just go on tilt. Or the way you get someplace, you know, what are the directions, or the name of a movie, or the name of a book, or where we were yesterday, or whatever it might be. We have these thought processes that need to be right, and we feel strongly about them. Well, this could be a real negative, needing to be right. The beautiful thing about a systemic thought is it won't stop stewing until the problem's solved, until it's brought back into alignment. So if there's a problem, and we want to emphasize one that can be solved, for example, if your house is worth $500,000 and you owe $700,000 on, you're trying to figure out how to add value to your house, that's probably not a problem you want to give it. You want to think about something else, like a short sale or something. But the problems that can be solved, we turn our mind loose. In the book, Today I Begin a New Life, I gave you a visualization to consider. Getting outside this fortress walls without windows and getting up on top and taking flight, flying amongst the hills and valleys and peaks of possibility. Just something to open your mind up and search and think and be open to. And you'll find the next week or two that ideas came a bit here and a little piece there and a little piece there, and you put them all together and things are starting to improve. This is a great gift, problem solving, if we're consciously using it, again, to solve a problem that is solvable. The last and the fifth use of our mind constructively is goal setting, planning and goal setting. Now, we've got the New Year's coming up. We're just a month away, approximately, and it's going to be time for New Year's resolutions. One of the great challenges is that we have resolutions, but we don't always have the resolve to complete the resolution. We're going to want to look at goal setting differently. In the book Today I Begin a New Life, there's an entire section on goal setting. You can also find one in your Intentional Creation Studio under Quality Number 2, where we talk about goal setting. The goal setting we talk about is rather simple. Remember, our mind is over here wandering. We're unconscious. And all of a sudden, we're going to do a goal set. We're going to do our New Year's resolutions, all the things we have to do. I want to lose this much weight. I want to read this many books. I want to do this. I do this. You know, it's like have to, should, must, ought to, need to. That's kind of the list we make. In this case, we're going to say, no, I'm going to discipline my mind to engage in a goal-setting exercise where I go into the future. In business, it may only be a year. In a relationship, it may be age 85 or more. And I'm going to get a clear vision of possibility. My vision, Ramona's sitting here next to me. This weekend's in one of our little retreats. So we'll go to the place where we see ourselves at age 85. Up to Bear Lake, overlooking the lake, and just be there together. And we'll most likely over the weekend have a conversation around this topic. Because this is what we want to have at age 85. We want to be able to look in each other's eyes and know that we've been faithful in every way. We want to be able to look in each other's eyes and see the sacrifice and the pain and feel such gratitude for what's been given and the joy that's been received in giving. Have that kind of a feeling. Then we work our way backwards. What do we do every day? What do we do every week? What do we do every month, every quarter, every year to help drive that relationship so that it's intentionally created? That's goal setting. Goal setting is having a vision. But you got to have a clear vision that you can see vividly in your mind, and the desire is to have that. What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve her? And come back and start thinking about the things we could do to actually get there. In business, very simplistically, we take our income goals and convert them to the number of people that we'll want to serve. We lost Zig Ziglar this last week, and Zig says, you know, you give enough people what they want, you'll get what you want. So how many people you need to serve to generate that money? Well, how many does that require then on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, on a daily basis? Then our total focus is serving that number of people over that period of time. If we're in a network marketing business, we want to recruit one person a week, then we take our daily activity of phone calls and networking meetings and whatever it might be to meet enough people to find that one person. If we're running a shoe store and we want to sell so many pairs of shoes, then we start thinking about the kinds of people that we'd like to invite into our store and the kind of challenges that they might have and the kind of messages that would respond to them when we start executing on those pieces. Everything is intentional. We serve the people. We generate the revenue. There's one other piece that was in that section in the book I put in about being a good employee. Because sometimes we go to work and we do our work and we come home back to our life. It's so wonderful when we show up as if we were an owner, vested in the success of that place, bringing all of us, whether we're recognized or not, whether we're paid sufficiently or not. Now, those things are important. But the most important thing is that we can fully show up, falling in love with what we're doing. This is a great goal because we will rise to the top. And if it's not recognized here, then you can go somewhere where it can be. But sometimes we want something before we want to engage. It's bad risk. Let us engage. We fall back in love with Bordeaux, we're energized when we get home. It's exciting. It takes enormous energy to play life at half speed. So in our careers, we can goal set. What kind of employee would I like to be? What would I like to accomplish? What would I like to achieve? Okay. What do I need to do today to move that one step closer? Today to move that one step closer? Today to move that one step closer? So goal setting is rather simple. You can spend some time in the Intentional Creation Studio listening. We'll spend an entire hour just in goal setting. Or you can read the section in the book on these pieces. Very simply stated, have a vision. And a vision, a dream, without a plan for accomplishing it is a fantasy. But a vision with a plan for executing and accomplishing, doing the millimeters, green the millimeters, and actually building that foundation. When David Thoreau said, it's okay to build castles in the sky, that's where they belong. But now let's focus on building foundations underneath them. That's the steps we take. And when people create, it's no surprise. Wow. It was intentional. They meant to do it. That's using our mind constructively, is to get a vision that's so clear and the steps that are needed to be completed to get there, because everything beyond this pivotal moment, this moment in time, is still in the future. 10 minutes from now is still in the future. 20 minutes from now is still in the future. Let us not go to the dream and start living beyond it. That's fantasy. Let us focus on all the future moments between here and there. Let this be where we apply our vivid visualization, keep igniting our passion and taking action. Then we actually get there. That's mental creation. In a nutshell, let us become aware. Let us become aware. Let us interrupt our thoughts frequently. Where am I right now? I've been having fun doing this. It's scary sometimes where I find my mind. It's okay. It's just what is. And if I'm in a bad place in my mind, it is impacting how I'm feeling about me. It's impacting how I'm feeling about the world. It's impacting my energy, my vision. Whew. Interrupt it. Catch it. Get it back into a constructive use as quickly as we can. We know if we go into catastrophe for 10 minutes, we are impaired for 10 hours. It's like walking into a bar and having several shots of whiskey and walking out with a blood alcohol in excess of the limit. It'll slowly wean off over the 10 hours, and we'll eventually get back to a normal blood alcohol level, but we're impaired for 10 hours. It's the same way with cortisol surges. We're impaired for 10 hours. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to stop or slow down or impair the awareness required to be able to see the opportunities? Take advantage of them. We want to be awake and alert, and it starts by interrupting and becoming aware of our thought processes. Not going to go there today. Pull out the tomahawk and choose one of these five constructive things to do right then and begin the process. You'll get an inspired idea. You'll act on it. It'll ignite your passion. Passion will drive your focus, discipline, effort, and action. It'll be exciting. And you'll start to create your dreams in tangible reality. Well, there's mental rehearsal. Next week, we're going to take on the other half of creation, which is physical creation. We create it in our mind. Now we're going to take the action to create it in tangible reality. This is a beautiful balance. Two totally different dimensions. Equally important. If we use this correctly, it ignites the passion to drive this one. That means, for those of you who are on the telephone, when we use mental creation constructively, it ignites the passion to drive physical creation. Nobody gets to skip the work. Absent this passion, the work is boring, mundane, repetitious, and burdensome. We want it to be joyful. We do want to work without counting the cost. So we want to learn to use our mind constructively to make the work joyful. Then we will be creating in joy and then enjoying what is created. Okay. Well, have a great week, everyone. You want to have a fun scroll to study. It's scroll number 6. I'll be the master of my emotions. Scroll number 6. Weak is he who allows his thoughts, wandering all over, to control his actions. And that's most of us. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. interrupt, consciously shift and change. Powerful. I will follow this pattern before the forces of evil overcome me, Ox says. There'll be days when I must constantly struggle against forces that would tear me down. Some of those things that want to pull us into discouragement are so powerful. Just not going there today. Still, we're here in creation because this is where the solutions are. This is where the passion is ignited. This is where the joy is experienced. So let's do this scroll number 6. Have fun with this scroll, mastering your emotions. And we'll be back with you next Tuesday night to take on physical creation. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you then.